I'm very humbled to speak from the Word of God, because almost everything that I know or learned is from teaching that happened here. So you can be assured that whatever I'm going to say, you might have heard before. But God's Word is refreshing all the time. God has given us a Spirit which helps us to hear and understand things in a new light. So let us sit prayerfully, and in the short time that we have, hopefully the Lord will speak to us something very important and encourage our hearts. We'll read from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. No prices for guessing that the message today is about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 Corinthians 15 is a very important chapter that speaks to us about this most important fact of our faith. With the grace of God, we will try to look at some pictures of resurrection that are seen in the Old Testament. And we'll try to find important lessons that we can learn from that about what the resurrection is and how it is so, it gives us this great hope that we have. The first picture in the Old Testament, and this is not in any particular order, but the first picture that we would like to consider today is Aaron's budded rod. We know the story very well. Aaron had this rod, and it was kept in a collection of 12 other rods. In this narrative, we find in Numbers chapter 17. And then we see, we know that the occasion was to prove the authority of Moses and of Aaron among the group of the children of Israel, because there was rebellion. Now, picture this in your mind. We have 12 rods. These rods are not green, or not rods that have any kind of life in them. These were staffs that the people used to help them with walking or with any other kind of activity that they had. They were probably withered, old, brown, thick sticks that they used. And we know the story very well. These 12 of these were kept together, and then the next day when Moses came and saw it, only Aaron's rod had budded. Numbers 17 verse 8, it says, "Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron of the house of Levi had sprouted and put forth buds and produced blossoms and yielded ripe almonds." What an incredible miracle. Something that was absolutely dead. If there was any doubt that it was dead, you just need to see the other rods that were by its side. Something completely dead, out of which abundance of life poured out. And that reminds us that resurrection speaks of life coming out of death. Many of us might have seen a dead body at a funeral. There's absolutely no doubt that this person who's lying in the coffin has died. And we go to a cemetery and we know that we are standing over ground where many such people have been buried under the ground. One day, 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus was placed in a tomb in this very same manner, completely dead. There was no doubt that this person had died. But then 3 days later, lo and behold, out of death, life springs out. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And this picture tells us that out of death, abundant life came out. And this is something that should encourage our hearts. We all know or have relatives who have died, who are sleeping in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 13 says that Paul is instructing the Thessalonian believers that do not sorrow even as others with no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Verse 15 talks about how the Lord will not prevent them which are asleep from rising up. Verse 16 says, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. There will be a time in the future when the Lord comes, and just like how there were a group of sticks that were dead, and one from those will bloom, in the same way there will be graves that will be opened, and the dead in Christ will rise, full of life, abundant life. Verse 17 talks about those who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them, that is those who are dead, in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And verse 18 is the lesson that we learn from this, that we should comfort one another with these words. So Aaron's budded rod, a picture of life breaking forth out of death. Now, the second picture is from the offering of the first fruits. If we read Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 14, we read of the instruction that God gives the children of Israel on the offering of the first fruits, the very first sheaf or the first cut of the harvest that they were about to have. Verse 14 says, if you offer a grain offering of your first fruits to the Lord, you shall offer for the grain offering of your first fruits green heads of grain roasted on the fire, grain beaten from full heads. We might think that it is crazy for a farmer to cut off green heads of corn. But the Lord is instructing the children of Israel that cut it and bring it as an offering to God. Why? Because green heads of corn are a promise that there is soon going to come a harvest white and ready to be plucked. If we read these words, the words in Leviticus chapter 2 verse 14, it's very precious thoughts about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and His resurrection. The application of this we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll quickly read a couple of verses that talk about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that are slept. Verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And here's the application of the first fruits, verse 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. The green head of corn, the Lord Jesus Christ, plucked right at the beginning of the harvest. Because he is the promise that we who are going to come after him, those who are dead, will rise up again and be part of that great group of people whose head is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the green head, the first fruits talk about the fact that there is a group, a promised group of people who will rise again, whose head is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's the second picture. The third picture is now a little more uncommon. I very seldom heard people speaking from this passage. It's found in Leviticus chapter 14, and maybe it's good to read a little bit. Leviticus chapter 14, 4 to 7. Here, the context of this is the cleansing of a leper. And this leper who has been afflicted by this horrible disease, who has been separated from the tribe of Israel, ostracized or banished from the tribe of Israel. He is outside the camp, but now he's received healing, and there are some steps that he has to follow. We know leprosy talks about sin, and the healing of leprosy is a picture of our salvation. And 14 verse 4, it talks about the things that this leper, this now healed, have to get for his cleansing. We read of two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet and hyssop. So we can picture two birds, very identical. This person is holding in his hand. And then we see what happens to these birds. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel of running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and scarlet and hyssop, and shall dip them in the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed, over the running water. So let's concentrate on the birds here. There's two birds, both are alive, and then one is killed, and its blood, and it's held over running water, and its blood is collected, and the bird that is alive now is dipped into this blood. And then we see what the plight of this bird, living bird, is in verse 7. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. So here we see a bird that is living but has marks of death, of blood on it. And now it has been released out into the open. And we all know what happens when a bird that is held captive is released. It flies up into the air, into the sky. And that is a great picture of resurrection. The Lord Jesus, the one who bore the scars of death, has now ascended into the heavens. The emphasis here is more on the scars of death. So the resurrection enabled people to see the scars of death that the Lord Jesus Christ bore on his body. We know the story of Thomas, the doubting disciple. He did not believe that the Lord Jesus rose again. And the Lord doesn't just show himself to Thomas. He encourages Thomas to touch his wounds and to feel, put his hands into the wounds that he bore. So those wounds were important. It spoke about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ in fact had died. Whenever somebody would have seen this bird that was released by this leper, when they would have seen this bird covered in blood or having some spots of blood on it, they would have remembered, oh, a leper has been cleansed. A leper who was bound by this disease has now been free. And the resurrection has enabled us, through the eyes of faith, seeing the scars of the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that he in fact has had actually died. And our hope is when we see him face to face, we will also be able to see these scars. It will always be a testament to the fact that here's the man who died for us, who achieved our salvation, the very fact of why we stand here. 1 Corinthians 15, 14 and 17 emphasize this fact. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. And if Christ, verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. So the idea is that if Christ did not rise again, he is still dead. And if he is dead, then we are still in our sins. What a terrible fact that is. We who are living, trying to live a life that is holy and pleasing to the Lord, if our sins are not forgiven, there's absolutely no use. What happens if we die? There's no hope in resurrection. But because the Lord Jesus Christ died, and more importantly, because he bears those scars of death on his body, we know that he has paid the price for our sin. So the leper's bird that he let free, that's the other picture, the third picture. And that reminds us that of the scars of death that the Lord Jesus bore for us, and the fact that our salvation has been achieved. And the next picture that we have in the Old Testament is something that the Lord himself attested to. In Matthew chapter 12, we see some scribes and Pharisees talking to Jesus, challenging him. And then they ask him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." They had just finished calling him Beelzebub, or a devil. And then the Lord, in verse 39, says, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." And verse 40, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." So Jonah's experience in the belly of this great fish is the fourth picture. We all know the story very well. Jonah has been cast into the ocean. In fact, in Jonah chapter 2 verse 3, it says, "For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me." And he was experiencing what in fact was death. He was experiencing the deep pressure or the weight of the sea closing in on him. and then being swallowed by this great fish in the belly of the fish in total darkness. But then we see how miraculously the Lord directs this fish to spit out, to vomit out Jonah onto dry ground. The fact that the fish had to spew out Jonah tells that the fish could not contain this person inside his belly. Fish would have tried to digest this person, but he is not able to. And then finally, after 3 days and three nights, he has to spit him out. He has to spew him out. And that speaks to us about how the Lord Jesus went into the domain of death for us. And death could not hold him. Death could not keep him there. But death had to finally spew him out. If we read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, we see this very graphically and very clearly explained by the Spirit of God. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The one who had the power of death is the devil. And the Lord Jesus, as he experienced death for us, he goes into that domain of the devil. Thousands, millions of people before him went into that domain of death. We all have to go there because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, he did not have to go there, but he chose to go in there. He chose to go into that domain of death, and death could not hold him. And for those days, he was in that domain of death. And finally, death could not hold him. Just like the fish spits out Jonah, death spits out our Lord Jesus Christ. And he comes out victorious, vanquishing death and the one who has the power of death. And then this picture talks to us about the fact that we do not have to fear death. Just like the Lord Jesus has defeated death, he has given us hope that we also will not be subject to death, eternal death, but we will rise again, triumphing over death. And when those who rise up will give, it will raise the song or the echo among all the saints that says, "Oh death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory?" And so death defeated. That's what this fourth picture talks to us about. And finally, the fifth picture is Noah's Ark. We all know the story very well. I don't want to get into the details. The Lord punished the earth, sent a great flood, a worldwide flood, a deluge. Only 8 souls were saved in that ark. Genesis chapter 8, verse 4, it says, "And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat." So, if you were to look at the world from outside, you would at that point of time not see any landform. You would not see any mountains or any trees. The earth would have been one big ball of blue, and one small ark riding over it. And that speaks to us about the judgment of God that God has reserved for the world, and how the Lord Jesus Christ triumphs over that. The ark going through that great deluge and that judgment and coming out on the other side safe. And then it says the ark rested on the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month. And that speaks to us about the rest that has been accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ through his resurrection. You know, the disciples on the night before the Lord was betrayed, in the Garden of Gethsemane, they were very tired. They were sleepy. And then the Lord, after multiple times trying to ask them to stay awake with him, he says, "Rest now." But the Lord could not rest. The Lord was about to walk into the halls of Pilate and Herod and face great mockery and shame and then finally die on that cross. There was no rest for him. He was, while on the cross, he had to suffer the great judgment of God that was poured out on him. But then he says it is finished and he dies. And the basis for that rest has been accomplished. And then after the Lord defeats death and he is spewn out by death, the Lord comes out triumphant. And now it's right for him to rest. And resurrection speaks to us about rest. We who are sojourners in this world, those of us who might experience death, will be moved into the presence of the Lord, where we will find eternal rest. We might find our life very difficult to live a Christian life, to engage in spiritual warfare 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, a very difficult task. And it might be a draining on our souls. The work of the Lord might be very difficult for us. But the Lord has given us help through His Spirit. And the Lord has prepared a rest for us. And we have an access into that rest because the Lord Jesus Christ rose for us. So the fifth picture is Noah's Ark. It speaks to us about the rest that resurrection has achieved. Those are all the pictures that I was able to find. I think I've heard people speak about 7, but I was not able to find those 2. So if you can find it, please let me know. So these 5 pictures, the Aaron's budded rod, the offering of the first fruits, the cleansed leper sparrow, Jonah's great fish, and Noah's ark, all speak about that great fact that happened 2000 years ago. May the Lord help us to take heart from this fact, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, our champion, our victor. And may He help us to lead lives that are meaningful, that are worth His glory and His name. May God's name be glorified.